and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and I'll start off my introduction this week with some sad news that our Irish Wolves secretary, Andy Taylor's mum, passed away at the weekend over in Wolverhampton. So it was a sad occasion for the family. They've had a tough few weeks. So I'd like to extend my condolences and sympathies to Andy and Colin and the rest of the Taylor family. And this week's podcast, we're going to discuss the Palace game at the weekend, and I hope you enjoy it. Gary, how are you?
Not bad, boy. Not bad.
Good stuff. Well, we've Mick and Tony, who were over at the game, due to call in at some stage. So, good evening, Michael.
Good evening.
How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Good.
Yourself?
Grand. We're expecting Mr. Cullen anyway, so I didn't get a chance to talk to you about the other lad, Neil Murphy. We thought he might be a good addition, but I never got a chance to mention to you.
He came into the pub and I eventually met him because there was a good crowd in the pub. It was a good old pub and he was up at the bar. So we stumbled across one another after I spoke to the doorman outside. He said there was two lads looking for us. But he got the match. You know, they were gone in about 5 minutes to go. But I know he's probably trying to get out because it's not the nicest of places to get in and out, particularly the toilets anyway. Fair experience.
Okay. What would you give it? One star, would you?
You see, when you go down to the toilet, it's only about 2'9" or less wide.
Yeah.
And it's only one step stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you go down there to have a whittle, and the only way is to come back up and everybody else is trying to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
and there's only one way out, in and out.
You were going against the flow, were you?
Yeah, and they were standing there, and there was the fella in front of me, he was watching, letting them come down, and I just had to go feck it up and block it. You know what I mean? But otherwise, we'd been down there, the match was over, the way things were going. Yeah. But that big gantry right across, and you can't see half the bloody pitch.
Yeah. We might leave that out of where we're that's what I was gonna talk to you. What sort of a trip over did you have? Tony, you were over there already, were you in England?
I was, but I came back on Monday night, so I missed the Everton game.
Yeah.
I had planned to go to the Everton game, but I got kind of blackballed.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to it. So I was in London. I came back on Monday evening and then I was back over on Saturday morning, obviously with Mick, so it was an early start as usual, you know.
Yeah. So, you were both on the same flight, yeah?
Yeah.
Into Gatwick, was it?
Into Gatwick, yeah. We got there, I think we landed it kind of early enough, didn't we, Mick? Was it?
We were there about 20 day quarter days. We were in after the plane in Albury about 10 days.
Yeah. I assume you had the usual Dudley Mafia guided tour of Crystal Palace and the environs, did you, before the game?
No.
No?
No.
Did you not meet them? You did meet them.
No, we didn't meet them till was it? It was after the game, just after the. Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm trying to figure. Yeah, it was after the game, wasn't it?
The game, yeah.
Oh,
did you not meet them? I thought you met them beforehand. No.
No,
they were ignoring us.
Who was the lad you met in the guy from Belfast? Was it?
Well, Tony from the Isle of Man was there. We travelled down to East Croydon. And we had our breakfast there. And then we went up to... What was that place? What was the first place you went to, Tony?
Prince George.
But what was that? That wasn't in East Croydon. That was in...
No, that was Thornton Heath.
Thornton Heath. And we were up there. It was called the Royal George. And we had a chat there with the bar lady trying to find our birds and the best places to go. She was
a girl from Mayo, wasn't she?
Mayo, that's right,
yeah.
We bumped into this fella there from Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Yorkshire Bulls. He was waiting on fellas to come up with his tickets. And we got talking to him, and, you know, he knew a couple of people I knew and that. So then followed us, and we went back down to the pub. Was it the Raven Telegraph? What's it, Tony?
Telegraph, yeah.
A good old pub, and that's who we were with. And then we bumped into Tony from, you know, the chap from the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
And one of his gang came in, and of course, everybody sort of knew everybody then, you know?
Yeah.
And good crack.
So the old Brandy must have taken a fair hit in all these places, did it?
Oh! wasn't too bad. We had a couple of points out of it, but we had a couple of few brandies. But it was you wouldn't be, you know, £7 is maybe a sculpt, but you wouldn't be drinking an awful lot of it anyway, you know.
Yeah, true, yeah. Switzerland prices nearly.
Yeah.
But I suppose getting on to the game itself, overall, it was a bit of a letdown of a game, really, was it, Mick?
Let Tony go in there first. Go on.
All right.
Okay, for sure. It was scrappy. I think the first half kind of went by without really much happening. They had a couple of chances, but it was just scrappy. You know, we were losing the ball. They were losing the ball. They probably had more chances than we did. But like, I just thought we were poor. We weren't really controlling anything. Yeah, it was just scrappy is all I can think of. And then it was half time.
Yeah.
And as Mick says, it's a hard watch. I've been to Selhurst Park because I used to live not that far away. And a friend of mine was a season ticket. Well, it wasn't a season ticket, but he was a Palace fan and he dragged me along many a time. But I hadn't sat in that stand except on one occasion. And I forgot quite how bad it was. But it's like watching a game through a letterbox. You know, it's very annoying. I wouldn't like to be paying the season ticket holder. But yeah, it was scrappy the first half and not much chance. I think we had a header. Raul had a header. The ref let a lot of stuff go in their favour.
Yeah.
I can't remember who he refed us. I think he might have refed us against Brentford that did he? But
yeah, I think he did that game. Yeah.
Yeah. He gave us virtually nothing unless he had to. There was a couple of really one particularly bad tackle I thought should have went yellow carded, but he let a lot go for them, and we were just losing all the 50-50s. And then it got worse in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of faded pretty badly in the second half.
Yeah, they just seemed to be a lot sharper than we were for some reason. You know, the 50-50 ball, just say, just seemed to be, they seemed to be getting the foot in and taking control of it. Mick, what was your view on it?
I thought the first half was even, Stephen. I just thought it was very competitive. They're a big, and they are a physical side, but they're also a fast side.
Yeah.
well organised. So, you know, both sides were cancelling one another out. And I said at half time, whoever got the first goal would win it. That's the way I seen it.
Yeah.
They were tough. But like Tony said, the one thing that he let a fair bit of the physical stuff go, and there's a lot of things creeping into the game nowadays. I said the same there last week about kicking the back of the ankles, but also kneeing fellas into the tyres, and our two wide fellas, Semedo and Trinkel, like they got a fair bit of a battering early on. They stopped them in their tracks when they tried to get running. So to me, they were targets. They knew they were the people that made us walk, you know, made us tick, and they got into it. Now, unfortunately, you know, I know the second goal came, but Semedo was struggling. To me, he should have been taken off. He was struggling with it. It got a belt right across the front of the tyres.
Yeah.
And I think as the game was going on, he was getting sore and sore. And that led to the first goal because he couldn't run back to get in where Zaha got the ball.
But
that's what I thought the first half was. It was the same referee that done Brentford. And he seems to. If we'd done something wrong, he straight away. I think it was a Matinho that was booked there. No, that was the other game.
No, Matinho was booked early on, Mick, because I was watching it on telly, and he made a tackle. Well, he went to make a tackle on one of the. I think it was your man that the fella had a shot early on that
Sass.
Eduardo was it? And I mean, I was listening to God. I don't know who he was. He was an ex Palace player anyway on telly. And I mean, the guy hadn't a clue. He said he basically said in two sentences that it was professional tackle by Matinho, but he never touched him.
Yeah,
but your man
was
dived.
Glenn Murray, Tony.
Who was it?
Tony. It was Glenn Murray.
Glenn Murray. Honest to God, he called Aitnouri Marçal. Yeah, he said Marçal is playing well on the left. He just. You know, I don't know. It's so many cliches. I think he was falling over himself. But with the first goal, Semedo, it was his clearance actually that fell straight to Gallagher, I think, and he was out of position then from that. You know, Sa kind of made a half a punch on it, but it looks like we were kind of doing okay. But it was just going to be one mistake or one lapse that was going to change the game one way or the other. But Gary, what was your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I believe it or not, I'm kind of more in agreement with Mick this week.
I thought
it was an excellent contest
Yeah.
Two sides that were actually, I thought they were both playing to win. I'm not saying they were brilliant, but they were very equal. And they were both, they were very confident in themselves, both teams.
Yeah.
And like Mick said, they were striving for that first goal because it was going to be crucial.
Yeah.
You know, that first goal was going to be crucial. And I thought they were both pressing. They both had confidence in their tactics and the style they were playing.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought it was a really good first half. And possibly one of the better first halves. I know what Tony was saying about being scrappy, and I felt like that for a lot of the minutes in the Villa game, you know, where it might have looked so bad wherever you were watching it from. But on this occasion, I thought that Wolves were quite good. And say on the negative side, the two things I kind of picked up were, I thought Huang, in the first half of the 11 players, I thought Huang was the least effective.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else I felt had a pretty strong first half. Huang didn't seem to drift out of the game quite a bit. And the other one was, the other point was, Jose Sa, I think the opposition have twigged that he's not always that comfortable with the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
And that if they pressure him, he will panic.
Yeah.
And I think they're actually, I thought they targeted that a couple of times early in the first half.
Yeah.
And but overall, yeah, I thought at halftime, if he was, say, boxing, I would say Palace were probably slightly ahead on points.
Yeah.
But that it was a really good Premiership battle, I thought. You know?
And we restricted them in chances as well. Just saying about Huang, and just wondering, is like probably on overall team selection, is he due a rest? He's come straight into the team and he scored a few goals, and I think he was kept in. If he hadn't been scoring, he probably wouldn't be in the team, but you know, he hasn't scored the last couple of games. But he kind of, is it a bit too early to have him in for every game?
Well, I think that is a possibility. You know, he might need to be taken out, just a break to come back in.
Yeah.
And look, at he's not too long in there. He certainly wouldn't perform defensively throughout the game.
No.
You know, but he'd be far better defensively than what you call a Traore would be.
That wouldn't be hard.
I know, but then again, if you have a goal scorer, it's really hard to leave him on the sideline. And that, but look, that's a call you have to make. But you know, once they got the goal, their tails was up.
Yeah.
And we never looked like getting back at it. And that was down, you know, as Gary says, that these are a good side.
Yeah.
You know, they get a goal up on you, you will find it, because your man, in fairness, he has them well organised. That's my thing. There were no mugs that we played on Saturday, because the previous week they went down to Main Road, or whatever you want to call it. And they got Sydney Fair out going over and 1-2-0.
Yeah.
And then before the match on Saturday, we were sitting there watching the same City side destroy Manchester United.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing too about them is, I think it was said, and the one glory of being at home, sometimes they actually hit a factor, you know, tell you the truth when you're watching it. But I think they'd scored something like 15 of their 18 goals or something had been in the second half, you know. So the odds were in their favour, probably going into the second half, you know. But like, I mean, we had a great chance, short for 2 weeks in a row. We were given a penalty and denied a penalty, you know. But I'd say from where you were and know where the away section is, I mean, I must have, once he blew the whistle, you thought, this is the equaliser. After their goal, yeah, we had a penalty. Yeah. No, he was outside the box.
No, he was outside the box.
He said
outside
the box.
Yeah, Nuri, the tackle, yeah. It was a funny tackle, actually, because it kind of looked like it was inside originally, but it was hard to know.
What was the offside thing?
Was
there an offside?
That was their goal. Their first goal was given offside by the linesman, and then they looked at it. And I mean, again, like that's what you're talking about. Like, you talk about margins. I mean, geez, there's two instances. We could have been one up if VAR went one way, you know. And we were one down.
Yeah. I watched that tackle a few times, and I couldn't. It was a funny tackle. He kind of.
Yeah.
There wasn't really one point of contact. There was multiple points of contact.
Yeah.
He seemed to kind of go through him a little bit, and then he kept going. And then he kind of hit him again, and he kind of went over.
Yeah. It was a strange one, all right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought he hit him in the box. I remember now. I thought that the main blow was in the box.
Yeah, well, he seemed to catch his left leg. I think his right leg almost was in the box, and the left was kind of outside. And he seemed to catch that first and brought it in. But what they say, the law says, you know, if the offence continues into the area, it's a penalty. But I think VAR obviously decided the initial contact was outside. And there wasn't any real further contact after that, so I assume that's why he didn't give the penalty. But that would have got us back into the game. It probably would have ended up fizzled out into 1-1 because they probably would have been happy that they had their chance in the lead. And then when we pulled it back, then it probably would trip. Anyway, but overall, I was asking earlier about team selection. We've had the first 11 is nearly picking itself at the moment. Is that a good thing or a bad thing considering Saturday's result?
Well. I don't know. I think I'd agree with Gary. Like Huang had his probably his least effective game that I've seen him play.
Yeah.
Now it obviously gives you the goal threat or the chance of a goal, and he works probably harder than Adama Traore. But
yeah,
he just kind of looked a good bit off of it. I don't know. I perhaps would have started the three Tendonkar in the middle of the park just to kind of. I know it probably didn't give us much going forward, but I thought Trincao was kind of pretty much, he didn't really get into the game.
Yeah.
I think it was the second goal, maybe it was the first goal when the ball came out after we initially cleared. I think Sa punched it or whatever, but the ball came out and Trincao was there. He had a chance of getting it or getting a tackle in. I can't think who it was. I think it might have been, not Sissoko.
MacArthur, I think.
He kind of pulled. He didn't. Obviously, pulled out of the tackle, but he kind of pulled out of a confrontation with him.
Yeah.
And then the ball went across, and they got the goal from that. So, I can't remember if it was the first or second goal, Gary, to be honest. But
yeah, the first one, it was a bad punch from San, and he had a chance to hook it clear, but he didn't hook it very far.
Yeah.
He fell to MacArthur and no one closed it on and slotted it through the,
and he played the
through
ball
the
in.
Gap.
Yeah. But just about the substitutions, I think a lot of people are saying now in the last few games that Bruno's leaving it a bit late, he doesn't seem to be willing to make substitutions and kind of waiting till very late on to make them. I think, you know, Saturday, do you think we needed somebody in a bit earlier to try and get Palace thinking, you know?
He brought the two of them on fairly early. I thought this week, and you know, I think that's what it made a judgment to me about Palace was like Pedance and even Traore were all at pace. They never got into the game.
No,
and that to me was down to how well organised Palace were.
Yeah,
like they done their homework on us and how to stop these fellas running because they had big physical players who could run. When they come on, they actually didn't give us anything. And whether they were on from the first minutes of the last, I don't think it would have helped. We gave away the goal, and then when they got in front, it didn't matter who we put on. We went and get them back at them. We seen it the previous week against City weren't able to breach the meter, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I thought Traore, did they really nail Traore down? He wasn't able to get any momentum. He had one run probably in the game, and even at that, he didn't really get anywhere. You go around in circles, but they are a big physical side. So, I think probably a bit like Brentford. You know, we don't seem to do well against them.
I don't know whether any of you saw Match of the Day, right? But they interviewed Bruno, and he said that his comment was that the sides were very equal, but we lost all the battles.
Yeah,
and that.
Yeah,
And I didn't think he was that far off the point, to be honest. I felt he wasn't far off. But Danny Murphy he actually made a point afterwards of saying they were talking about different things. Then he jumped in and said, "Oh, by the way, I totally disagree with the Wolves manager. The Palace were better than Wolves in every department." And I thought that was very harsh. I didn't agree with it at all, but he was, you know, I wouldn't have said, yes, they deserve the game to win the game. They were better than us from the start of the first second half. They they dominated the game. We never responded.
Yeah.
To be honest, actually, towards the end, we started to get into the game again a bit. But like Mick said, they had us kind of sussed at that stage.
Yeah, and we were too.
We were never going to break it down.
No.
But when you think of it, right, when we came up the first year, we won 1-0.
Yeah.
When the second year, you remember we drew 1-1 with a Yota equalising right in injury time.
At the very end,
When during COVID, we lost 1-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyone that thought we were in for an easy ride on Saturday was...
Yeah. Oh, no.
Having themselves, like, you know.
No. And I think it was, we said earlier on that, you know, they seem to win all the 50-50 duels or battles or any breaking ball. It always seemed to go in their favour. So we were kind of, you know, we were up against it from the start. So, yeah, I think we're, you know, it's one we'll just ride it off. And hopefully after the international break, we'll get back on track again.
But, well, in teams like that, playing teams like that, you know, I was agreeing with what Tony said there a while ago. The likes of Dendonka, we need physicality there because they got it out to wide men, who speed merchants, as you call them, and they didn't let us go. So we need to be battling with them a bit more. And they did. In fairness, in the second half, I know when they got the goal, then we weren't winning those 50-50 battles with them.
Yeah.
And but look at, they're a decent side, and anybody we spoke to, or you were sitting there talking to people, every one of them said, we spoke to them, they'd be delighted with a point before the match.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it probably was a fair result. And the worrying thing for me out of it was that I thought we played pretty well. Obviously, we have played better at times, but I thought we played pretty well in the first half. But when they kicked on in the second half, we just couldn't go with them.
Yeah,
you know, and that's kind of the worrying thing is that our fucking maximum? Is it is Palace the level? You know, is it that seventh, eighth, ninth place we're actually looking at here? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think Gary, the reason they kick on the second half, like until they got the goals, there was nothing between the sides. Change games. You know what I mean? And look, if we had got that goal first, it could be completely different. So that would be my answer to what you're saying there, Gary. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we didn't get the breaking goal.
Yeah, and I think as Gary said, outlining all the results in the last 4 years against them, like it has been.
Yeah.
I mean, Doherty's goal in the first season back, like that game could have gone either way. I think that the Bell Glenmurray, I think, probably had a couple of chances early in that game, you know. But like it was a tight game. We got the goal, but it was probably 20 minutes or so to go, and you know. So I mean, I didn't think Saturday's game was going to be any different than the previous ones against them. You know, we seem to do better against them at home, and I think that probably their away form, probably bar the City game, probably isn't as good. But I'd no complaints. I think, and you know, just up next is after the international break is West Ham. So what's the thoughts on facing them after they're on a high after their big win on Sunday against Liverpool? Any thoughts?
I think that game against West Ham is going to be an almighty struggle. I mean, I just watched them overpower Liverpool with the headers. I only saw the highlights last night.
Yeah.
But they just overpowered Liverpool. I know Alisson made a few howlers.
Yeah.
That last goal that they got, Zuma's goal at the back post, I mean, we haven't defended corners very well, although I must say more recently we've done better, but that was our kind of an issue for us, particularly at the end of last season. We were conceding a lot of goals at corners. Spurs, I remember Dyer got a header near the end, or got a tap in near the end. I just think it's going to be a hard game.
I think it will be. Well, yeah, but watching them against Villa the previous week away, I mean, it's, you know, we're at home for, like, looking at their away form. I mean, I thought against Villa, even against 10 men, I know they won 4-1 in the end, but they kind of struggled for a lot of the game to break Villa down. I mean, it was 1-1. They were 2-1, got two goals in the last probably 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have said they were, you know, worthy 4-1 winners. So it'd be interesting.
I think it'd be a good game.
Yeah.
I think we have a great chance in it because, look, I watched West Ham. Your man up front, he's fantastic for them. What do you call him?
Antonio.
The centre-forward. And he's great attitude. And he, like, just even listening to him talk, he's a sound bloke. But after saying that, they do, what you call it, they do give up a lot of chances. And they're not, like, you get the likes of, Nevers in the middle there with our mate, what you call it, in the middle. And they won't be, there'll be a fair old battle in there. And, you know, Johnny, you say, Tony, you were saying that, to me, defensively, we're very good in the corners this year. I think we've been very, very good, but we need to have a bit of power in there. You have that, the other fella running with power, but they lost a very important player there today. He's gone for months.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Bonnie. But Sa is a plus for us as well from corners. He's a bigger lad, and he's more dominating. You know, coming out for the ball, he's more willing to come out for the cross and that. You know. So it'd be an interesting game.
The other point, which is very, very important to make, like defensively, we haven't been sort of exposed the way we last year. Like people were saying last year, we're very slow at the back.
Yeah,
we're very slow at the front, and I didn't agree with that. But the problem was last year was that we had a keeper that didn't come off as Lyon.
Yeah.
This year we have a keeper that comes off as Lyon.
Yeah.
So the lads can push out comfortably a bit further. And which you've seen it. You've seen it earlier this year. There was one over the top and our keeper was out about 30 yards.
Yeah.
He'd seen it happening. So that's given us a fair bit of cover at the back. And that's because Sa comes off as Lyon. You know what I mean? Like he does make blunders here and there, but he'll get better at it. But that's why I just think this we have a great chance in this game because they do give up chances.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you see Liverpool. And I said it all. Liverpool have conceded 3 goals on a few occasions this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And they haven't been as dominating as they had been. So hopefully we'll get a good result. Just to finish off, Mick, I just wanted to say a little word of our mate, put out Bob Mullen, that passed away there last week. There's some great memories of meeting him, in Switzerland. And the last time I think was Turin, was it?
Yeah, we met him in Turin, if you remember. We had the photograph with him, didn't we?
Yeah, the photograph. Yeah, I sent it around to you last week, the other day. So, sad day. But just wanted to mention him anyway before we finish up.
I've known Bob for years.
Yeah.
I know him before he even had the old stroke. And as I told you, the funny thing was, there was the two Bobs. That's what I used to call them, the pair of Bobs. And I remember a couple of years ago, I heard he wasn't too well.
Yeah.
And I rang his eye top, it was the Bob. And he answered the phone. And all I could hear, he was in hospital at having stroke. It was the wrong Bob I rang, you know what I mean? But he obviously had copped the name and that, but he couldn't speak. But the great things over the years, every time we met him, I remember it was Celtic Park, and we met him well before that. He used to always take photographs.
Yeah.
And then the next time we met him at a match, he'd have them and he'd be showing you them, you know, the photograph. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was a great fan of Ireland. He loved coming over here, you know?
Yeah, she met him in Cork as well, yeah.
You'd have to say, the supreme Wolves fan, even in Turin, he was, you know, he's on the walking stick, you know, he was under, you would say to yourself, why would you go to that extent to go and see the game? I mean, the man was incredible, really, how he kept going to, you know, and on the bus with all, you know, a bunch of nutters. You know, incredible, really, right? An incredible supporter,
He'll be
right to the very end,
he'll be sadly missed. Anyway, lads, I think we'll wrap that up for this week. So, as you say, we have our meeting on Saturday in Monaghan, so hopefully we'll have a decent turnout. So, and we'll see you all there,
Okay,
Tony. Okie
doke.
We'll see you. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.